So with God we can. That's our theme this year, right guys? With God we can. And we know that. We can live that. We can have faith in that. We can trust in that. With God we can. And this month, our theme for this month is with God we can find a place to serve. And when we think about the idea of service or serving, we can see that in the New Testament. We can see that all over the Bible. God's people serving. And God's people doing marvelous things. And I could think of no better story than the book of Nehemiah. And what happened in Nehemiah, as we read this morning, Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 3 through 7, there's a key passage in this verse. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 3 through 7, there's a key passage. Now, it goes through and talks about the people who are involved. And we're going to talk about Tobiah. And Tobiah is a guy that he's sort of the antagonist in the story. Tobiah and the Ammonite and the other people that are there. But if you look in verse 6, and so they're talking about, you know, the people are coming back to build the wall, and they're talking about this wall they're building, and they're kind of back in the back, the peanut gallery. I don't know if you ever watched the Muppets. I loved the Muppets when I was growing up. The peanut gallery, the guys in back, they're kind of making fun of everybody. That was Tobiah and Sanballat and the guys at that time. And so they're telling them, hey, even a fox could jump over this wall you're building, okay, this fortified wall. And so they're back naysaying this, and the people are kind of getting discouraged. But Nehemiah animates them, encourages them, and prays to God, and he begins to say, so we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And that's the key to this morning. For the people had a mind to work. With God we can find a place to serve, but what is the key element in all of that? We've got to have the mind to work. And we're going to talk about the work that they did. Then we look at Nehemiah, we talk about the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is an excellent, excellent study. If you take some time, it's 13 chapters. Take some time to read through Nehemiah and study and look at Nehemiah as a person. But you remember Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king, King Artaxerxes, which was sort of an important guy in that time, the king of Persia. I don't know, have y'all met kings before? I haven't. You know, they're pretty important people. And so he was the cupbearer to the king. And he received word in chapter 1 that the town of Israel, or his place where he was from, it was sort of a reproach by the people around it. The wall was torn down. People had already gone back to rebuild the temple, but the wall was torn down. Now, in the time in that time and place, walls were important for protection around a city. You know, we don't really have that now. We don't understand the nature of having a wall around our houses or around our cities. But in that time, that was something that was very important. And so the city was by reproach, and he was receiving a message that was going on, and he was sad because of this. And he was sad one day in front of the king. And the king said, Nehemiah, you're sad. What's happening? And Nehemiah begins to respond to the king. And the king asked, what would you ask of me? And you know what Nehemiah did first? The text tells us in chapter 1, so he prayed. And as you read through the story of Nehemiah, you'll see that a key part in the text of Nehemiah. And we saw that already in chapter 4 when the people were coming up against them. He began to pray. And so he prayed very quickly. You know, we talk about Thessalonians 5:17 talking about praying without ceasing. Nehemiah did that in that moment. So he prayed before he responds, and then he unfolds this message, this plan that he had in chapter 1. To go back and rebuild the walls. And so the king gives him permission to go back. He goes back in chapter 2. At the end of chapter 2, he begins to look around the wall. He takes a moment to size up. What are we dealing with? Now, I want to be clear with this. There are bits and pieces of wall, okay? They're not completely rebuilding a wall from zero, but there are bits and pieces of wall. And he's taking some time to contemplate on what is going on in chapter 2 as he walks around the wall and he sees what's happening. He returns to Jerusalem with permission to rebuild the walls, but he needs to help the people also. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 through 20, the end of that chapter, Nehemiah was a great PR guy. Nehemiah was a guy that was going to really encourage these people. And he says to them here, then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. Here it is again. Here's that same concept. They put their hands to this good work. God's, what does Nehemiah tell them? God's with us. We have permission. You know what Nehemiah got from the king? He got letters for to have permission to build the wall. So he had letters to, for permission to cut wood and build the gates. He had letters to quarry stone and rebuild the wall. He had all this package ready to go. Let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven will give you give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. Now, as you read this story, you're like, what is the deal with Tobiah and the other guys? What is the deal? Why are they giving them such grief over rebuilding these walls? We know as people of God, as servants of God, that when we try to do what God would have us to do, there will be opposition. There will be opposition. It's just plain and simple. That's the nature of Satan. That's his job, okay? To give us opposition when we are supposed to be doing the work of God. And so Sanballat and Tobiah, they're going to be against us in this situation. But what does Nehemiah respond to them? The God of heaven will give us success. The God of heaven will give us success. With God, we can. It's an old message. It's been around a while. And those who have served God have always relied, have always trusted in God. And in this situation, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, his servants will arise and build. But he creates distinction here. He says, you have no right, no portion, nothing to do with us. That's a polite way of saying, go your own way, man. You have no portion with us. We are his servants. There is distinct nature between those who serve God and those who do not. And then, fast forwarding a little bit in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, and as we unfold this story, the opposition rears its head again. Now when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on, despite their best efforts, by the way, went on, and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry. All of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause disturbance in it. But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. Again, what do we see happening over and over again? We're praying to God. We believe in prayer. We know it's going to work. We know with God we can. And I know it's difficult for us to really put ourselves in that situation because we don't have Ashdodites in our lives, do we? Anybody know an Ashdodite? I don't, okay? So we don't have these people coming against us necessarily. We're not in our situation, in our lives, we're not building walls around a city. So it's hard for us to put it in our context. But have we ever had opposition? Have you ever had opposition when you are trying to do what God would have you to do and something stands in your way? Tomorrow I'm going to do this. And you make that resolution to do whatever it is you know you need to do. And that day is sometimes the hardest day you had to struggle against whatever it is you're dealing with. Have we had opposition? With God we can. We pray to our God. And so they begin to set up a guard system day and night. As you fast forward through this looking at verses 12 and 14, they had set up to the point where they were working with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. They didn't leave their weapons alone, even when they went to get a drink. They always had their weapons. And I forgot to mention earlier that in chapter 3, if you read chapter 3, chapter 3 tells where everybody's working on the wall. It breaks it down in family groups where they are working along the wall. So as they work, they're working in family units. Some of them working even in front of the part that is their own houses. It mentions that this guy worked and this portion of the wall was in front of his house, in front of his home. And so they're building this wall. And we're going to talk about the dimensions and the really undertaking that took place. But they're working in these family groups and they're working around this wall. And all the ladies are working too. And everybody's thrown into this. And the closest thing that I can relate to this is when Karen and I first moved down here, a lot of y'all lied to us and said that we don't really have hurricanes per se in this area. You know, we don't have hurricanes here in Palm Beach County. That was in 2004, okay? For those of you that, we had three at that time. I think two of them made landfall within a mile of each other. I think God was just kind of going, ha-ha, you know, yeah, you do. Okay, so hurricanes. You know, when hurricanes come, it kind of makes a mess of things, right? The first hurricane, I was freaking out. Karen and I were going by all this water and that kind of stuff and filling the bathtub and what are we going to do and putting up the shutters and it's kind of, oh, hurricane. And then the second hurricane, we're like, ah, we got this. You know, we don't necessarily have to put it on this window because this window, the wind doesn't really affect it, so we can sit in our lazy boys and watch the trees do this. And do this. And so you kind of get used to the hurricanes. Know your house. I wouldn't recommend doing it. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, you just have to know your environment. All right. So the hurricanes. After the hurricanes, lots of water and lots of debris everywhere. Everywhere. We had people coming over from the other side of Florida coming over and working. We had work crews set up. We were going around and cleaning up houses, getting things off roofs, cleaning up trees and that kind of stuff. And we really pulled together. There were a lot of us that were really working together. And that's the closest, I think, that I can really see as far as us today dealing with a situation where there is no distraction. Because the only thing we're doing is cleaning up somebody's yard. And in this case, the only thing they were doing was serving God and building the wall. There was no distraction. Now, the people around them tried. You know, they tried. But you see, at every turn, they were turning to God. We're going to pray. We're going to serve Him. Those people have nothing to do with us. And you look here in chapter 4, verses 12 and 14. Now, when the Jews who lived near the bad guys, came and told us 10 times. They came and told us 10 times. I don't know, once is enough normally, but they came and told us 10 times. They will come up against us from every place where you may turn. Then I stationed men at the lowest parts of the space, behind the wall and exposed places, and I stationed the people in families with their swords. Again, here's that concept, the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, here he is again, here's a good PR guy. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles. This is a big moment right now. This is sort of the same kind of moment where the 12 spies came back, and it's a turning point. It's a turning point. Either we're going to trust in God and continue to trust in Him, or we're going to fall to fear. Remember the 12 spies? We're like grasshoppers compared to the people of this land. And Joshua and Caleb are like, what are you talking about? We've got God with us. With God we can. So this is a turning point. And so he says, he rose to speak, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Fight for everything you hold dear. This is sort of a moment when people stand up and make that battle cry. Remember the Lord God who is great and awesome. Has He changed, church? He is still great and awesome. And when you're fighting your battles, pray to the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for everything that you hold dear. Because that's what they're doing. You want motivation? With God we can. With God we can was his message to them at this time. And they needed that message. We fast forward to chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. So the wall was completed. The wall was completed the 25th day of the month of Elul, not the same calendar we had, but that's another lesson. In 52 days, when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. They lost confidence. They understood that we're not fighting against just flesh and blood. They did it in 52 days. 52 days. The wall. What was this wall? The length of the wall was 2.5 miles. The average height was 40 feet. So earlier in the text, when they said they built it up to half its height, they're talking about 20 feet. How many of you know what 20 feet looks like? I don't know that I know what 20 feet looks like. Elders, do y'all know how high the ceiling is in this room? Anybody know the height of the ceiling in this room? I'm sorry? About 40 feet? All right. So that's the wall. Okay. 40 feet. About 4 stories. That's what they did. 8 feet thick. They're not doing this 2 feet thing. 8 feet thick. And the walls contain 34 watchtowers and 8 gates. They did it in 52 days. 52 days. The next slide, if you look at this, there's a picture of what remains of the wall. This was part of, actually, they built on what was called Hezekiah's broad wall. But this is part of that wall that they put together. With God, we can. With God, we can. This was the obstacle, the challenge that they had to rebuild this wall and to fortify the city. It is amazing what was accomplished. I don't know if, do y'all watch movies? I watch movies. I'm sure you do. That's like asking if you breathe. Everybody watches movies, okay? There are times when in a movie, there's a song that gets played, and everything, this huge task gets accomplished, right? And you're watching just snippets during the song, you know, and they're working, or they're kind of playing around, and you're like, oh, that's so funny. They got paint on themselves during the song. And then they're getting whatever it is that they're doing, they're getting it done, okay? This was that kind of moment. 52 days, they got all this work done. I think we need to have like a playlist of those songs just to have on our cell phones so we can get a lot of work done, right? Sorry, that was a joke. You can think about that later. Anyway, moving on. What were the keys? What were the keys to their success? What were the keys to their success? First, they had a mind to work. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, whatever you do, do you work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. They had a mind to work. With God we can find a place to serve. But that's only going to work if I am amenable to do that, if I'm ready to do that. If I have a mind that I'm going to work, We're going to make sure it's done, if it's my priority. But we know that we're not working to serve men. We're not working to serve anybody else, but we're working to serve the Lord. And that makes all the difference. Another key to their success was they knew God was working. They knew God was working. In Philippians chapter 2, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do, to work for His good pleasure. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is at work in your life? With God we can. God is at work in your life. Did you know that you are in a position right now to do the things that God has prepared you to do? God can take any person from any walk of life, from any past, and use you for His good purpose. But you've got to be willing to let that happen. You've got to be willing to let that happen. And they knew that. They knew God was working. Over and over and over again, they prayed, God will give us success. Our God is working for us. Our God is working for us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, the writer of Hebrews leads on, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So God is working through us to do the good work. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And this is sort of that battle cry for us as Christians. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? With God, we can. Do we believe that? Do we live that way? Do we pray that way? Another key to their success is they knew that prayer worked. In James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. And so when Paul is writing this letter to the Thessalonians, he said, pray for us. Pray that we can do the work. Pray that the Lord, that the word is spread. They believed in prayer. We sang a song this morning about Christ praying in Gethsemane. The Son of God believed in prayer. The Son of God that night bowed His head and in a sense said, with God, I can. With you, I can. We need to know that prayer works. There's an interesting story in Acts chapter 12. I think it's a fun story. Acts chapter 12. Peter's in prison. There's people praying for him. Beginning in verse 12. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door to the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. They said to her, you are out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, it's an angel, it's an angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. All right, do you see the issue here? Have you prayed this way before? You're praying, and then the servant girl comes and says, he's here. And you're like, you're crazy, that can't be right. We're praying for that, but I'm not sure that's really going to happen. Do you pray that way? Should we pray that way? Should we be surprised that when we prayed for something, that it works out? Let me say this, it may not work out the way we want it to work out. And that may not work out on our time schedule, but it'll work itself out. Now, can you imagine being Peter? Peter's a hunted man. He's just escaped from prison, all right? Prison break. Just escaped from prison. He's standing outside the gate. He's kind of knocking on the gate, doing the, hey, let me in, you know. He's not going to yell, it's Peter, let me in. Okay, he's not going to yell like that. And the girl doesn't even open the gate. And he's like, what's the deal? They're not even opening the door. Do we pray like that? I like the story because it shows the humanity of us sometimes. The Bible shows how we as humans react to the blessings of God. And sometimes we're surprised that God is so good to us. With God we can. This month, this is our theme. With God we can. I could think of no better story than the story of Nehemiah. The things that they were able to accomplish because of God. And they said that God will give us the success. They had moments of fear. They had people that were coming up against them. And we're going to have opposition this year, ladies and gentlemen. Church, we're going to have people coming up against us. It's just going to happen. But what do? Remember your God who is great and awesome. He's fighting for us. If God be for us, who can stand against us? Are you ready for this year? Are you ready to put your name down and say, I'm going to serve. I'm going to do this very thing. And God's with me. With God I can. And with God we can. How can you be a servant this morning? Well, first you need to believe. You need to believe that He is. You need to repent. You need to confess. You need to be baptized into Christ and put on Christ in baptism. And you can be His servant. And you can walk with confidence. When you read the story of Nehemiah, you see a man who's walking with confidence. At every turn he prayed, he dealt with the fears, but he walked in confidence because he knew God and God knew him. This morning, you can know God and come to know Him in a close relationship with Him, and God will know you. God knows who you are. God knows what you need. God knows the things that you're struggling with in your life. The church is here to help you. Everything's prepared. Will you come now as we stand and as we sing?